Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And we've been studying biblical discernment. Biblical discernment. Hallelujah. Let me start off in this teaching by sharing what I said to somebody who asked the question from the first teaching in this series. The person said, isn't it possible that you know by the Spirit of God that you are not meant to listen to a particular preacher? You know, and that was a response to what I said in that teaching, how that I said, we don't discern sound doctrine or, you know, false teaching and all that. We don't discern and judge by the Spirit. That is, by the discerning of spirits. We judge mostly by the knowledge of the written word. Praise God. And then he shared an experience of how, even before he met the word, he knew by the Spirit that he shouldn't follow a particular person. And then eventually when he met the word, he discovered the person was not even preaching the word and all. So that was his experience. I'm not one to discard it or doubt it. But then the point is this. If you look at the testimony, it wasn't the word the person was preaching in the first place. So that could have been a leading of spirit to say, see, you know, to place a check on that person and it will be in place. But the reason why you know that such a person needed the Spirit of God to say something was because he himself was not knowledgeable at that point in time. Have you seen? So if there was knowledge of the word, you wouldn't need the Spirit of God to tell you something apart from what you already know from the written word. Hallelujah. Something you already know from the written word. So, and secondly, the reason why it is safer we stay with judging things by the knowledge of the word, by knowledge of the written word, which was the reason why I said in that first teaching that we have to realize that our first duty is to learn the word. To learn God's word to a point where we are discerning and we're able to prove and test and examine every teaching. The reason why we have to stay with judging or discerning teachings and ministries by the knowledge of the word is because it's a slippery ground. It's a slippery ground to say, let's all just judge as the Spirit leads us. Hallelujah. People would judge by the Spirit in court. Even those who preach sound doctrine. People will say, the Holy Spirit said I should not follow them. The Holy Spirit said I should not listen to that man. Even though the man is sound with, you know, in his presentation of the Word of God. Even though the man is the only person around his environment preaching the Word of God. He will say, you know, something told me. I mean, somebody stepped into our local church some years back. And as she stepped in, she was invited for the meeting, so she stepped into the meeting, she just sat down, she was just looking all through. And after the meeting, she said, yeah, she was blessed and all, so she went. And I knew something was wrong. Then I asked the person that invited her, and the person said, well, she said that as she stepped into the place, her spirit did not just agree. And all that. I actually feel it was because of my hairstyle, and she wasn't used to that. So I mentioned it, and he said, well, she mentioned that too. And I said, that was the reason, and all that. So, people would tell you they perceive something by the Spirit. They discern something. As I stepped into that meeting, my spirit did not just agree, and all that. We'll give room, for all kinds of unhealthy judgment, unhealthy discernment. That's why we have to go by the written word solely and primarily. Glory to God. So let me continue. I hope that helped you. Let me continue from where we stopped in the last teaching. Showed us in the last teaching how that, you know, I showed us again from the last teaching, emphatically from scriptures, how that we are not to judge or, you know, busy ourselves with testing motives. Though there are times when motives are clear to us, I said that. Though there are times when motives are clear to us based on what the people say, based on the attitude they put up around us. I mean, by way of association and relationship, we know that this person is running with a false motive. Praise God. Number two, there are motives already stated in scriptures. If you see a man who is emphatic about money, and is, you know, every doctrine, every ministration is tied to how to raise money, is tied to how to profit from the ministry, is tied to how to gain, you know, financially from the ministry, then his motive is actually very, very clear from scriptures. His God is his belly. Hallelujah. He's serving his appetite. So, except for those two, you know, kind of cases, we really should not busy ourselves trying to judge people's motives. So when I see a man of God preaching sound doctrine, I don't say, well, he's preaching sound doctrine. Only God knows his motive. Maybe it's just to be showing off. I don't have a business with that. If what he's saying is a blessing to me, I receive and I go my way. Hallelujah. When another man is preaching on sound doctrine, on healthy doctrine, I don't say, well, maybe his motive is right anyway, and I just open myself to receive. I turn away because it's not about his motives. I don't busy myself trying to judge people's motives. I only busy myself discerning what they say. Praise God. And then in today's teaching, I want to show you places where people actually contended for the faith, places where there were disagreements, there were disputes over doctrinal matters in the Bible. And let me quickly say this. Disputes and disagreements are as old as Bible days. It's not something peculiar to our generation. You say, all these Facebook preachers, all this young generation. No, disputes have always existed. Hallelujah. Disagreement. And why is this so? Because there is light and there's darkness. There is truth and there's error. There's the word of God and there are words of men, there are traditions of men, philosophies of men. So when you have such opposition, there's bound to be disagreements, disputes, and arguments. Praise God. And you find this also in every, in everything that pertains to life. You find people having different perspectives and different mindsets and perspectives and angles to viewing politics. Different mindsets concerning policies. Different mindsets concerning music. And do you understand? So there will be differences in opinions. Now, in this case, God's mind has been revealed in scriptures. Now, the devil has diverse false teachings, wrong teachings, falsehood discernment that is put out there to confuse men and to mislead them and to, shroud their understanding of the word of God. So because of such existing conflict, there's bound to be arguments, there's bound to be disagreements, there's bound to be disputes. Hallelujah. So I think when people get shocked in this generation and they say, I don't know, this young generation, why are they always arguing scriptures? Why are they disputing? I feel that shock is not to be traced to anything else apart from an ignorance of the word of God, an ignorance of scriptures, an ignorance of how matters were addressed in the Bible. Such men are barren, in their knowledge of the scriptures. Praise God. So that shock is a result of the fact that you are not conversant and familiar with the scriptures. I mean, just take a walk through the ministry of Jesus. It's not hard. Or take a walk through the book of Acts. You will see dispute, argument, discussions, and all. So let's start today by seeing those examples in scriptures of places where there were disputes in the Bible. And let us see, what were they looking out for? Were they fishing for people's motives? Or were they just focused on judging the matter and judging the doctrine, the thing said, the message? And then we shall see and reach our conclusion after this teaching. Let's start from Acts 15. And then we're going to dwell a bit in Acts 15 today for the purpose of this study. Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Have you seen? So, when Paul heard what they said, you must be circumcised. You must do this. You must be circumcised. You must keep the customs. You must obey the customs of Moses. You must, before you can be saved, you must obey the laws and all that. So when Paul and Barnabas heard it, they didn't say, that's their own revelation. You see, the way God deals with us is different though. God might be showing you one thing today and he's showing us something else. So, every man, according to his dealings with God, our faith is personal. Our race is personal. They didn't say all kinds of funny things like that. You see, there's a lot of illiteracy in the body of Christ. And I mean no offense. I mean, it's illiteracy. When people say, that's your own perspective. That's how God is dealing with you. This is how God is dealing with me today. Matters of doctrine are not presented in scriptures, as different shades of gray. It's written in black and white. Hallelujah. That is, there's a precise knowledge of what is true and what is false from the scriptures. So there's no such thing as there's a way God is dealing with you personally. The doctrine is not a personal matter. It's a public document. Hallelujah. The doctrine, the Christian faith, is not a personal matter. It is not the same way as God leading you in who to marry, or leading you in the area of getting a job, or leading you in the, do you understand? It's not a personal life. Doctrine has to do with something that is generally to be received and believed and added unto. Hallelujah. So Paul and Barnabas did not say, oh well, that's their own doctrine. The Bible says they had no small dissension and dispute with them. Glory to God. No small dissension and dispute with them. Do you know what this means? Dissension. Hallelujah. Arguments. That is, they were not just there, laid back, and then observing things, and then just allowing people say their own, everybody contributing his own quota, and all that, and you know, all such funny things. No. Bible says they had no small dissension and dispute with them. Glory to God. So, like I said, discussions, arguments, debates are as old as Bible days. There has always been contentions. Hallelujah. There's always been disputes, arguments, disagreements, because there's light and there's darkness, there's truth and there's error. Glory be to God. So look at this now. Do you know the word dissension there? I'll read from Acts of Apostles again from verse 2. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. You see, that word dissension is a word that means it doesn't sound good, but that's what it means. It means strife. Hallelujah. It means strife. It means controversy. It means an uproar. Praise God. Now, realize that the strife we're talking about here is not bitterness against somebody, you know, you're fighting yourself. No, it means there was, you know, strife actually means there was division. Praise God. That is, there was no agreement on that matter. Paul didn't keep quiet just for so that peace can reign. No, peace will not reign if they allow men begin to follow the law of Moses. Peace will not reign. Many times when we say, let's just do it for the sake of peace, we are not aware of the fact that if we allow men yield themselves to unsound doctrine, to false teaching, they will never have peace. So peace will not reign if we allow false teaching dominate us. Glory to God. The way to allow the peace of God rule in our heart is to contend for the truth of God's word in all sincerity and you know, in all sincerity and honesty. That's the way the peace of God will rule our heart. If we keep quiet in the face of false teaching so that peace can reign, that peace is not the peace of God. That is peace in this world. Hallelujah. The peace of God comes from the word. Glory to God. From the word of God. Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. And let the peace of Christ, and let the peace of God rule your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Have you seen? God's word. God's word. God's word. Hallelujah. So we can't have peace in our minds. We also cannot have peace amongst ourselves if we don't allow the word of God prevail. Praise God. If we believe contrary to, if we believe different things, I stand with the truth, you stand with errors, and we say, see, let's not fight, let's just agree. We have still not agreed. We are still divided, though we pretend to be agreeing. Though we pretend to be in agreement, we are still very much divided. Hallelujah. Do you know what is now, you know what is happening now? We are now living in denial, pretense, and hypocrisy. Praise God. Now, it is not the person that contends for the truth. It is not the person that does not receive everything that is said, hook, line, and sinker, that is causing strife and division and dissension. It is the person that is preaching against the word that is causing dissension and strife and disagreement and division in the body of Christ. Glory be to God. That's why Romans 16, 17 that we read in the previous, I think in the previous teaching also, that mark those who cause divisions among you, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. You see, today, we assume that it is people who are taking a stand for the truth, people who are contending for the faith, that are causing division in the body of Christ. And that's a kind of reversed psychology, upside down thinking. The man causing division is the man that is preaching against the word of God. So who are the people causing division at Acts 15? The people who said, unless they are circumcised and keep the law according to, you know, and keep the customs according to the law of Moses. Those are the guys causing division. Not Paul and Barnabas, who stood up to defend the truth of the gospel. Are you following? So we must know the difference. Hallelujah. Now that word dissension is the same word used at Acts of Apostles chapter 23. Then at verse 7, verse 10, let's see how it is used. So it's a word that depicts division, strife, and disagreement. Acts of Apostles 23, look at this now. Glory to God. Verse 7, Bible says, and when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. So whenever you see the word dissension, it means there was a division. Hallelujah. There's a division, there's conflict in opinions, conflict in, you know, in perspectives, and it leads to people disagreeing and to a point where they're divided. Praise God. This was when Paul says, I'm a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, and all that. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees began to, you know, oppose themselves. Look at verse 10. Bible says, now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. So dissension speaks of division. Praise God. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Whenever you find people striving in matters of doctrine, you're not meant to say, let's stop. You see, I don't understand this. How can believers be, you know, walking in strife? The truth of the matter is, most times, especially when a party is speaking the truth and the other party is, you know, is standing for falsehood and deception, you need to realize that the dissension and the strife is from the person that is preaching falsehood. What you must be doing in that in that kind of scenario is not to just say, it's not just to get tired or pissed, you know, pissed because of the strife or the argument or the division. You should be careful to find out who is saying the truth. Hallelujah. Because the truth is, if this is your attitude of just getting pissed and, you know, getting tired and just walking and just saying, why? I don't know. I don't get this. Believers should not be. You should realize it is not everybody that is fighting. Sometimes, or most times, in matters where the truth is presented and others are opposing it, the person really striving is the person that is fighting against the truth. So if this is your idea, you would also get pissed at Paul and Barnabas in this place. You look at them and be like, see, why can't them just let peace reign? And you know, all those kind of funny things that people say. Look at this quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy in chapter 6. The strife does not emanate from men who stand for the truth. The strife comes from men who do not receive the truth and who do everything to oppose, you know, the truth. Because the truth will always get in their way. The truth will always limit them. The truth will always oppose their ways. So they will fight back. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at this now. From verse 3. The Bible says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are called to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes. Have you seen? The man that does not consent to the wholesome words, the doctrine of Christ, is the man that is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. And what? And from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means for gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now listen, when he says he's obsessed with disputes and arguments, he can't be arguing with himself, I hope you know. Praise God. Strife, from which come strife, reviling, evil suspicions, evil. So you see that the strife and the dispute and the argument and all that will be happening, but then it is not coming from the party that is standing for the truth. It is coming from those who are opposing the truth. Praise God. Back to Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Glory to God. So, when they had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Again, these guys are raising up, you know, an argument against the truth. Look at verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute. Have you seen that again? Much what? Dispute. Hallelujah. When there had been much dispute. Do you know the meaning of dispute? It means disagreement too. It means disputation, disagreement, argument. So, Bible now says, when there had been much. Praise God. Do you know that sometimes in arguments and those disputes that many believers shy away from, there's a lot to learn? Hallelujah. I remember somebody reaching out to me some years back and saying, see, the first place I saw the truth about eternal salvation was on this particular thread you were on for, you know, a certain number of months, consistently, because I was always on that person's word. We're always having discussions back and forth. I was never using, you know, insultive words. I was never calling him names. We just kept our focus on exchanging, you know, thoughts from scriptures. So I'll present my matter. If he takes a swipe at me, I'll just show him scriptures. I just kept it. She said that was where she learned the truth about eternal salvation. So most times when you see people disagreeing and and arguing and all that, rather than run away from the argument, just pay attention and observe. If you have nothing to say, just be looking and watching and paying attention. You'll be shocked at how much you will learn in that conversation. Hallelujah. You see, the Christian faith, the matters of understanding scriptures, understanding God's word, contending for the faith, is not for the faint-hearted. You must be ready to do all that is within your means to learn God's word. And one of the ways to learn God's word is to observe when people have arguments in Bible, Bible arguments and arguments in study. You have to observe. You are not to say, let's stop arguing. They will not stop anyway, because light and darkness will always be in continuous opposition and contention. So they won't stop. That won't stop anytime from now. So what a wise man would do is to pay attention to what is being said and then look at how they are presenting their, you know, conclusions from scriptures. Look at the person that is using scriptures in a very shrewd manner. Look at the person that is using the scriptures in a very cunning and crafty way. Look at the person that is just showing you the simplicity of the word, presenting it simply and plainly. Then it's so clear, you know that, this is the person saying the truth. Hallelujah. Bible says, when they had, after much dispute, look at this, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Look at verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Now, listen. Peter stood up to, you know, conclude the matter. They've had much disputes, disagreements, back, you know, talking back and forth. The word dispute also means discussion, and then it was quite a conversation. But then Peter stood up and settled the matter by saying, "See, why do you test God? Hallelujah! Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples? Listen, are you aware that what those guys were saying was what they knew to be the truth? They had a background." As, you know, men who were trained as Pharisees. So what they were saying was actually what they knew. That was their own knowledge, their perspective. So, but Peter says, you are testing God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples. Now, so far, can you point out any place in this conversation where they said, well, you know, what you guys are saying is wrong, but, you know, your motives, maybe your motive is right. Or maybe Paul said, you know, let's just leave, you know, these guys, you know, you can't say they are trying to impose things on the saints. You know, you can't really judge their motives, you know. So let's not fight. Let's not argue. You know, there was never a point in this conversation where they said, you know, right from when they were in Antioch to when they went to Jerusalem to meet the apostles, there was never a point in this conversation where they were talking about motive, their intention, what they were really trying. There was never a point in time. The focus was on the message, what was said. Hallelujah. They must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. No, they don't have to. And they were having disputes based on the message. Praise God. You get yourself into trouble if you begin to excuse people based on motives, based on intentions, and you say, you know, they may just be ignorant. They may have good intentions. And then you don't stand up, you know, to oppose false teachings. You'll be getting yourself into different kinds of troubles. Hallelujah. In fact, the only time somebody mentioned something that seemed like motive was when Peter said, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of disciples? It felt like Peter was even, you know, showing us that their motives were wrong. But that was not it. It wasn't reading meanings into their motives or intentions. It was just saying, see, what you are teaching, what your doctrine, the effect of your doctrine will be that you want to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples. Hallelujah. Because eventually when men receive, you know, the doctrine of you have to be circumcised, keep the law of Moses, they would be brought into bondage. So Peter is teaching and showing us the consequence and the effect of that teaching. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. Galatians 2, 1 to 6. See how Paul mentions this. And then we're going to really, you know, walk through scriptures, see everywhere that people had disagreements and disputes over doctrinal matters. You see how the issue of motive and the message, you see how they are carefully, you know, sorted. Hallelujah. They are put in their place, in their, you know, respective places. Glory to God. Look at Galatians now, chapter 2. Glory be to Jesus. Galatians 2, I'll read from verse 1. Paul speaking, he says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I also took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, and privately to those who were of reputation, lest by enemies I might run or had run in vain. Do you know, Paul is referencing what happened at Acts 15. Hallelujah. Where he went to Jerusalem with Barnabas. Then he says he took Titus with him. Praise God. So he says he went to communicate with them. Now he says, yet not even Titus who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Praise God. Have you seen? Paul is saying, see, these guys came in, they brought them in secretly. Hallelujah. But you know, Bible says those were the Pharisees who had believed. But Paul said, see, these guys came in secretly. They brought them in to spy on our liberty which we have in Christ. Praise God. Now look at verse 5. It says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That is, when there was a false presentation of the gospel, you won't find the apostles excusing people and crediting to them a good motive. No. They will say, these guys want to bring us into bondage. You are testing God. You want to put a yoke on the neck of disciples. You don't find them dashing people good motives where there's a wrong message. Do you understand? Paul says they were brought in secretly to spy out our liberty in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2, same place, from verse 11 to 14. See what it says concerning Peter. Bible says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, and fearing those who were of the circumcision, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Do you understand? He says he saw that they were not walking straightforward according to the truth of the gospel. He says Barnabas also was carried away by their hypocrisy. He says the rest of the Jews played the hypocrite with him, that is with Peter. See, he wasn't excusing their motives. He says, this is wrong. This is hypocrisy. Hallelujah. This is hypocrisy. And of course, it was so much about what they were saying and the body language of Peter. That is, Peter was by his body language saying that, see, the law of Moses still mattered. And there's still a dichotomy between Jews and Gentiles. And that broke his heart. And then he stood up and began to defend the gospel. Glory be to God. He didn't say, Peter must have good intentions. You know, he's an apostle of Jesus. I mean, he even saw Jesus. Was I even there? My own seeing Jesus was an encounter on the road to Damascus. These ones know Jesus. They know him. So really, his intentions are intact. He says, see, when I saw they were not walking straightforward according to the truth of the gospel, I withstood him before them all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 2, look at this now, again. Verse 5, when he says, to whom we did not yield submission for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Many times people do not realize that the reason why we ought to be discerning, the reason why we ought not to receive just anything that he said, is so that the truth of the gospel might continue with others. Hallelujah. Especially when you are a preacher of the gospel. If you don't take a stand for the truth, take a stand for the gospel, you would hinder many souls from seeing the light. Hallelujah. You hinder many souls from seeing the truth. And you see, this is one of the things to take away from this teaching. this morning. This is one of the major things to take away from this teaching, that many folks will be prevented from seeing the truth if we do not take a stand for the truth, if we don't discern and judge and examine what he said and, you know, take a stand for the gospel when necessary. Hallelujah. Lastly, let's see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Discernment is taught in scriptures. It is a vital, you know, disposition we must have towards receiving the ministry. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. And I'm going to stop here this morning. We'll continue this teaching tomorrow. By the way, I hope you are learning something, improving in your understanding of the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. The Bible says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Test all things. And hold fast what is good. You see, that word test is the same word that is translated at 1 John chapter 4, test all spirits, dokimazo, which means to examine, to scrutinize, to investigate, to prove all things. So he says to test all things, not some things, all. Hallelujah. And then he says, hold fast to that which is good. That is, after you are done examining, you should hold fast to that which is good in all that you have proven. Praise God. Now listen, the reason why we are to test is because the only way to hold fast to what is good is to examine what you are receiving. If you don't test what you are receiving, you can't be sure of what you are holding on to. You can't be sure of the quality or the essence of what you are holding on to. It is those who prove all things and test all things that hold fast to what is true and what is good. Those who do not test anything, who are just simple. Bible says the simple believes everything. They are just so simple, they just receive everything. Such men cannot be holding fast to what is good. You have what is good, what is bad, what is worse, what is the worst. You have all manner of things, mixed teachings. Praise God. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So it is by testing things and proving things, you are guaranteed of holding fast to that which is good. So you see that this is not some unprofitable venture. This is not some, you know, unrewarding attitude or disposition. There's much profit, there's much advantage and benefit in being discerning as a Christian. So we'll continue from here tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in, invite your friends, relatives, family members, classmates, colleagues. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day also of being full of the Spirit, full of the Word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of faith, full of power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.